Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
My fly is open.
Eat-o! Showtime!
Are you making egg foo young in the kitchen? I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll make it bad. For the streaming, go direct to DLNGS.org. And IRC channels and Linux.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 915 of Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Dog days of summer, man.
And we have Joel.
Good evening.
And we have Joe.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, and here we go. So I wanted to mention this last week, but I never fit it in. And it came across my news feed again today. Just to wrap it up in a nutshell, what we were talking about two shows ago in regards to the whole Audacity thing, to clarify kind of what is going on, is that Audacity's new owner, the Muse Group, who acquired the rights to the code, wanted to do a couple of things. One is introduce telemetry into it to collect information to help guide them towards not only fixing bugs, but also what features are most widely used and what should get the lion's share of the work. There was concern that information may contain personal information. They were saying it's the only thing relevant to personal security, maybe IP address, but there was still that concern there in operating system information, and more so the concern of the parent company of Muse, what they may do with that data in regards to selling that data. Muse has said that their focus is primarily trying to make Audacity a better product in regards to the relicensing and reaching out to the community members who to the contributors, to which they said the majority of them have responded and that they want to relicense Audacity from GPL version 2 to GPL version 3. So most of the people they said that had responded to them have agreed to that licensing change. There is a bunch of people or contributors that they have not heard from. Most of those were people who just they call drive-by contributors that do a quick fix for something that they needed. And their response to that is if they can't get them, they could just recreate their contribution or remove their contribution and redo it. Most of that stuff they say is simple. That did not seem to sit well with the community. One of the concerns or reasons they want to move to GPL version 3 is that makes it more compatible to be used in other ways, getting that into other stores, like the Apple Store is a good example, Android, whatever store. There's issues that a lot of those places have concerning the GPL version 2. GPL version 3 would make it easier to do that. They can also, what kind of rifled some people is they could then take that code and use it alongside of closed source products, which I think they plan to do. One example of that, somewhat closed, is what's got them in hot water again with the community in regards to an application that they kind of operate side by side with Audacity, which is called MuseScore. And MuseScore is a tool that links into a service. I think it's MuseScore.com or whatever, MusicScore.com, which allows you to download and use musical scores. Now, on MusicScores.com, there runs the gambit from community contributed music scores to, you know, stuff that like Disney owns, and some of it's free and some of it you have to pay for, obviously. And Muse runs a service, a subscription service, where if you're part of that service, you get to download the restricted ones as well. And they have a couple of different applications or plugins that go hand in hand with MuseScore. One of them is Muse Download, and I forget what the third one is called. But somebody forked MuseScore and forked those plugins too. And now, for the past year, people using that forked version, they don't need to have a subscription service with Muse. They could download any of that stuff from MuseScore free of charge, even the copyrighted stuff. And so MuseScore had the I guess lead developer or the guy had written to the person who forked it and said, hey, look, we don't have a problem with the fork, but we have to do something about the accessibility of being able to use the MuseScore download to acquire the copyrighted stuff. Could you please remove that, get that out of there, and let's go different ways, you know, and figure this out. And there's been, you know, kind of the response was that was posted as a issues on GitHub by the person who operates the repository. And there's been really no forward movement or anything for the past year. They did say, hey, if we're not going to get, you know, come to some kind of agreeable resolution, we're going to have to get lawyers involved. And, you know, that's going to cause problems, because apparently the developer who forked it is a Chinese nationalist living in the United States, who, if it did come to a lawsuit or a problem, could jeopardize his status here, and he would have to go back. And he's been critical of the Chinese government, and there's a concern in that regard, to which, you know, Muse is like, hey, let's work this out so none of this happens. And that's kind of where it's at. It's still in limbo. They're trying to work things out. It's kind of a bit of a mess. I see both sides. You know, I see the concerns of the Audacity community. I read what Muse is doing. There's some things I'm concerned about data collection, obviously. I'm not opposed to it being licensed under the GPL version 3. So it's a fairly interesting problem. And we'll see where it goes. But there's a lot of documentation out there on a lot of articles. But that's the general idea of what's going on with Audacity right now. I'm not sure how much traction the fork of Audacity, Tenacity, I think it's called, is getting. But we'll see. We'll see where this all goes. Exciting times.
Right, for the other one, Spinacity?
I do believe, yes. The fork of Audacity is Tenacity.
Now, wasn't there another one that the 4chan group started, Spinacity or something?
No, I do believe that whole issue with the 4chan thing was when they forked Audacity, they didn't have a name for it, so we put out a poll and Fortran jumped on that and wanted it to be called Sleazedacity or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, so they wanted to I have it up right here. Man, it was like a Simpsons gag. Sneed, Feed, and Seed, formerly Chucks, one. So they wanted to call it Sneedacity off of that signpost, Sneed, Feed, and Seed, formerly Chucks. And I guess the developer didn't want to do that or something, or it would just got a little... He wasn't pleased with the poll, so he took the poll down and just called it Tenacity, and then that got the 4chan group upset, and then they started doxing him and kind of harassing him in that regards.
I thought they also made another fort.
I don't know if anybody else made another fork. I just saw that they kind of did that, upset him, caused it, there was like that problem. I don't see anything other than Tenacity as being a fork. You can probably just go to Audacity's GitHub page and look at the forks.
One would hope.
There's only 1.6 thousand of them, so... Yeah. So I don't know. Of those 1,600 forks, maybe one is another one like Tenacity, but I don't know.
Interesting.
Well, I got to go into the office today to pick up all my stuff since they're planning on completely rearranging the office. And my desktop in there has evidently been blue screened for quite a while.
Was it still running Windows XP?
No, it would have been running. It would have switched to 10, and it ran a little while on 10, and now it's just, I've restarted it several times, and it's just blue screening.
Wow, so it was actually on and running when you went in to a blue screen?
Yeah, well, a lot of people remote into their desktops. I used to remote into that desktop, and then the HVD was just more solid and faster, so I switched to that.
Did you try remoting into the desktop?
I have not tried to remote into the desktop for a long time, and it also hasn't been listed as an option to do for a while. So I guess, you know, when the icon went away is when it quit working.
So when this is where my lack of Windows knowledge comes in. If it is at a blue screen of death, is the whole thing hosed, or would it be possible to remote into that? Like, you know, sometimes you could have your desktop freeze up on Linux, but you can still SSH into it.
Right. No, since this happened during boot, you definitely would not be able to. And I think with blue screen, that's a solid crash, and it basically stops all processes.
Yep.
Now, in your work environment, then, I guess... What you would have to do next is you just re-image it?
Well, someone would have to re-image it, and right. I'd start with a blank computer. And yeah, that's
what or I repair
would suspect
it.
Would happen. Well, so, my guess is that they just replace the hard drive because that's the quickest and easiest way, and then they re-image that hard drive, and it's ready to go for the next person.
So when they do that, like, do you have like a work backup process that you would restore from, or do you just rebuild your system back to what you
need?
Well,
I have a network share.
Okay.
And then that would hold whatever information I had found, you know, indispensable, as long as I was remembering to back things up there. And then I would just reinstall all my applications and move from there.
Now, when you reinstall the applications, is that like do you do it through a corporate provided tool,
yes.
Or do you
okay. A couple of different corporate provided tools?
How do you like them?
By definition, they suck.
what do you know? But, what are the tools that you're using, if you can say? Like, what do they use?
I can't really.
Oh. Because I know my company, I think I talked about that last week or the week before, about how much of a pain in the ass it was.
Yep.
With that. And it keeps, you know, it hasn't done it recently, but it was going back and forth with reverting and then reinstalling and then reverting and then installing a new one and then reverting and go through that little rigmarole.
All right, now I got to drive home. Let Joel talk a while.
All right, there you go, Joel. Have that's fun. Your cue. Hopefully it's a short job drive for Joe.
Well, Kai is in the car, so just about everything is short.
There we go.
Ba-da-bum. Now Sassy wanted to come back.
She's
inside.
Giving y'all a dirty look.
I think she's giving you a dirty look.
That's right.
She's staring at the phone, memorizing y'all's names.
Nice.
We're not the ones calling her short.
She wanted me to double check with you and make sure that audio clip plays at the end of every show.
You're going to have to send it to me because I can't
find
it.
Yeah, okay. Well, when I get home, I'll log in and into Google and make sure I send you a copy.
Well, there you go. Now, what were you saying, Joel?
I said Sassy wanted to go inside, so we did. And she was sitting inside. She's not, like I said, she got into something last night, so she's not feeling that great. So if she continues to do this, I may end up taking her over to the vet tomorrow, maybe. She needs drinking water, so that's good. So I think she just got into something, ate something she shouldn't have. Dun, dun. But, yep, so probably most of the house is done. I'm not 100% sure. Why they do things the way they do. But one of the contractors, I think we have to have gutters before we move in. It just depends on what the city wants. I personally don't care as long as they get installed, you know, because it's not really a safety issue or anything like that. But when we met with the last week for the pre-closed walkthrough, we met with, which would be a week ago today, we met with the superintendent, and he, I think he mentioned the gutters being installed to would have been today, because he said he's talked to the contractor, and they said, we're going to install them on Friday. He's like, they close Friday. You can't do that. So, he was supposed to come today, but he didn't come today, so they're supposedly coming tomorrow morning, so we'll find out. But if that happens, then everything's all set. Loan's approved. We're ready to go.
No, gutters are an important thing.
Yeah, they are.
You don't want that water collecting around your house.
Yeah, you know, it's all on a slab, so it's not going to do much.
No.
So.
What's that noise in the background?
Probably like Sassy.
Was that the dog? Is that the dog panting?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like a pump or something going. Like,
no. Nope, that's Sassy. She's just panting. She's a hot dog today.
Has it been hot over there?
Yeah, but except for today. Today's nice. It's 70 degrees out there now.
We got gorgeous. Nice heat along with our humidity. It's 83 right now.
83 is not horrible.
It feels like it's 86 with the humidity.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Speaking of that, I gotta get the hammock in before it rains tonight. Yeah. Man, I'll tell you what. That's one of the best purchases I ever made was a hammock. Oh, I love that thing. It's hard to lay in though, because if I lay in it, I end up falling asleep in it. But it's just so damn comfortable. I love it. Tell you, if you get a hammock, if you get a chance, man, get a hammock. Oh, they're not that expensive. And boy, they are just the bee's knees.
I need to see if I can find a set for our screen room. Kind of the wrong time of the year to be looking for that. Yeah, I just want like a little like a four topper, you know, of four chairs and a table. That would be great.
What does Sassy have to say?
Not much. I can tell she doesn't feel completely terrible because she's looking at me. She's standing up and standing here letting me pet her, and she's wagging her tail like crazy. So she's happy, but she doesn't. She definitely doesn't feel normal. I think she's frustrated with this place too. The last few times today where I went to go bring her back in, she's standing outside the hotel room like, do I have to go back in there again? But I was laying here petting her, and she went to the other side of the room. So fine, be that way.
Yeah, none of your shit. Is Joe still there, or is he? He must still be listening, I guess.
Might be listening and driving.
Well, man, I had a humbling couple of days at work. It was, a lot of times at work, people come to me to help them solve problems. And so they look to my expertise on certain things, and I'm grateful to give my expertise. But it was like the reverse these past couple of days. I had to do a lot of work on part of our system, which I should know a lot better than I do, but I don't. And it was interacting with our, like, a certain part of our data structure and being able to manipulate and acquire that information and how it all ties together is something I don't do on a regular basis, so I'm not as familiar as I should be. So that, coupled with my atrocious JavaScript skills, because, you know, usually when I want to script something, you know, my go-to language is, you know, I'm going to start writing it in Bash, and if it's a little more complicated than I can easily do in Bash, I usually go to Python. But a guy that I work with had written a good portion of being able to interact with the data and the API to get the information through JavaScript.
No. Just quick side question here. If it were 10 years ago, would it have been Bash and then C?
Nah, maybe Perl. Or 10 years ago, Python still. I liked Python a lot.
Oh, I'm sorry. I would have had to dial it back a little bit further then.
20 years 15, ago, I wouldn't be doing 20
years
it.
Ago?
20 years ago, I would have been working. I would have been just starting out on this a lot of this stuff. I would have been working in Novell and NetWare and stuff. And that's not a fun way.
You can't imaging do shit PCs. In that.
Yeah. But anyway, this is on Friday. He's like, here. I'm like, hi. So I first off, I completely misunderstood the requirements, right? Because I talked to him Friday morning. I'm like, hey man, I'm looking at this ticket. I'm like, is this just grunt work? You know, do you think, you know, would I be capable of doing it? Is this grunt work? And he's like, what, you think you're above this? And I'm like, no, quite the opposite. I'm like, if it's just grunt work, it should be easy enough to pick up. And I should be able to do it. Not from the perspective like, hey, this is just, you know, it's me. Anybody could do this. And it should be easy for, you know, it's below my skill level. Absolutely not. What I meant was, do I have enough knowledge to be able to adequately tackle this ticket in a reasonable amount of time? And he's like, ah, yeah, you should be able to do it. No problem. And he's like, here, you know, he walked me through some stuff. And so my interpretation of this was, oh, it's fairly simple. We just need to find all of this under this specific path and where the duplicates are, and we're good. And I go about doing that. And he's like, no, 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 no. Later on, after a couple hours of trying to get this information, he's like, no, it's not just this one path. It's all the paths across our entire system. And here's a script and a query that already does this to get you that similar information, and you need to go find the duplicates. And okay, all right, I got it this time. So Monday I'm going through, and my it's like JavaScript. I get it, but I don't get it. And every time I go and work with it, I get it a little bit better. But then I don't work with it for a couple of months. And so I lose some of that knowledge. But I still, you know, it doesn't take me as long to ramp up on it. And I'm always like, just like confused. I'm like, well, why can't I use this variable here? It should be available here, but apparently it's not. And how do I need to get this? You know, how can I get this into a JSON object? And, you know, it's not that hard, but I end up having to try and do this thing like 5 or 6 times. And then it's like asynchronous versus synchronous. You have to worry about all of that. And sometimes it's not available here, but it's available over there. And it gets kind of frustrating. So like, I would get to a point, I get all this data. I'm like, I got all this data. And he's like, well, let me see your script. And I'm like, but it's not exactly the way I would like it, but this is what I'm seeing. He's like, he looks at the script and like, he's like, here's a couple of tweaks on this script. And it's like, you know, what took me 6 hours to do, he's like tweaked and fixed in just like a relatively few minutes.
Run!
And I feel like such an, you know, I feel like such an idiot. And it just happens. Like, then I like, okay, I'm taking it to the next level and I get all this data. I'm like, I got all this data and I got to the end of it. And then I saw this problem. Like, now I don't trust any of it. And it's like, well, let me see what you got. And then when you're like looking through, he's like, and so he'll tweak it a little bit and he comes to the same results that I did. And I'm like, well, thank goodness. At least I'm getting the same results. He's made it more efficient, and outputs in a lot better way. So that was kind of exciting. But it took me 3 days to get probably what would have took a lot of other people on our team who have a lot more familiarity with the data structure and the schemas and the API and JavaScript to get. So that's a very humbling experience, but it's a great learning experience too. And I always feel kind of guilty on those situations because I'm like, you know, if you give me the thing that's taking that person over there 3 or 4 days to do, I can get it done in like a few hours. And it's like the reverse of that. It's like you could have given this to that person over there and it would probably take them just a few hours to get a lot of this information. Whereas with me, not being as familiar with all of this, it's taken me a couple of days to do it. But I'm thankful for that experience.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And GraphQL, baby. GraphQL. Do you do a lot of GraphQL, Joel?
Nah.
Oh, man, that is something to get the head around. I spent what I did on Friday. It was like I really tried to go do this the Bash way. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to take this query through GraphQL and I'm going to convert it into a curl call, which should be fairly simple. But I couldn't find any documentation on how to make that translation of what I need to actually pass and how I need to pass it, because I wasn't as familiar with the format of GraphQL, but I eventually did figure it out and was able to get like get it working in Postman for what I needed, which I could then use and make a curl call to do this stuff. And I was all ready to gear to do that, but that's when I learned that it's not just this path that was in the example. It's I have to go and make this call to our legacy system to pull out all this information out of Couchbase, which would give me like what's called the vocabulary that I need to pass into this part of the script to then query the API to get all of that stuff that I need to start processing. It was a treat and a half. JavaScript, man. Woo. I look at that. I look at the note, the stuff that they write, and I'm like, I get it, but I have a hard time. I don't get it. Like, if I were to sit down and write it myself, I'm like, there's a lot of procedural code going on over here that's just not right. You know, this is not the right way to do it. And how do I get it into the actual, you know, proper format? I'm getting it a little better every time. Sticking with it, Joel. That's the key. And the crazy thing is like, we got all sorts of Java, like stuff written for in Node and JavaScript and stuff. And now, you know, for the past couple of months, there's been a lot of focus on this, the WordPress editor project, which is now all PHP. And it's like, oh, you know, I used to do a lot of PHP. So going in there, I got that a whole lot better. I'm a lot more familiar with that. But then I still get tripped up on the data structure stuff. Because I'm not as familiar, because I don't work as much as all the other developers do on the data structure. I'm mostly on the infrastructure side and the tools and everything, not so much the data structure. But, yeah. Fun.
Yep. Well, I did some – we're working on a problem. We've had a client who's had a recurring issue where there's a – process we have, it's called a DAS or data access server, which is basically it's a Java program, and it's the first that has to be up in order for the system to be up. And we've been having a problem where it basically will just become unresponsive, and you can't it's unresponsive, but then when you look at the command layer, like at the shell script, you know, in a Unix shell, do ps-ef and grep for it, you still see the process is active, okay? So then at that point, the system's gone. You can't do anything else. You have to kill all the listeners, and then you have to restart them all right? Well, the problem is what would really actually show the actual error is if we put this in a full verbose logging mode. Unfortunately, if you do that with this particular code, you're going to have basically 2 gigs an hour generated of log files. Okay, and it automatically rotates, so you're not going to run into a situation where you have the a file that could be potentially bigger than 2 gigs. But it's still, you know, it just eats up a bunch of disk space. So today I set up with we're gonna hopefully overnight, the overnight team will have the JMX extensions activated for this particular program, and we can either use jconsole, and that's probably what we'll use, combination of jconsole and then our own application doing listener profiles to see if we can catch it when it fails again. But we're going to actually go a step further and then basically just pump this data into Datadog using the JMX extensions. And then at that point, we'd be able to tell, well, is this process running out of Java heap? Do we need to expand, increase the heap size? Because it's one of those things where I don't know how much Java you've done work you've done with that, Dan or Joe. I know how much Dan Fry has done, but too bad he's not on the show today. But when you run out of heat, Java. Yeah. Have you?
I have in the past.
No, Pat. Okay. Pat does a lot of Java.
No, I don't do a lot of it right now. In the past, I did some.
Okay. So basically what happens is the JVM will crash when you run out of heap size. All right. So, and it's not like one of those things where you can't just set like, well, hey, let's just set this up to for a 64 gig. Well, you can't do that because usually what happens is it's one of those fine line points where if you have too much, it's bad. If you have too little, it's bad. So you got to find the right sweet spot for how the system is working. So if we're running out, then we're going to increase it by probably another gig just to make sure that it doesn't fail and then see how it runs. So, and when we increase the max, we also set the minimum at the same level. That way, when you start the system, it grabs that RAM right away. So, but hopefully we can get that enabled. And either way, it's actually going to be something that we're probably looking at adding to all of our clients, because at some point, as the client grows and they start increasing enrollment at the school, then they're going to have a situation where they're not going to have enough heap either. So systems are living, breathing things. You can't just leave them untouched with the same memory settings forever, unfortunately. But now, granted, that's the nature of Java. Now, if it's any other programming language, hey, you don't really have that problem necessarily. You have different memory management issues, but there you go. So, but it was just kind of cool just to mess with Java has something called JIT console, where I can basically point it at the right port, and I can sit there and watch the connections and the amount of memory go up and down in a graph, which is pretty cool. So, Datadog will be better because we can keep that as a historical data. And we can set alarms based on certain like thresholds. So we can say if it's at 98% for more than 5 minutes, then go ahead and page the on call. So that's my story of one of the things this week. The other is where you catch people basically. I had an issue this week where I discovered that, oh wait, these machine keys don't match. We have basically a low balanced website in IIS where you have two servers, and it's low balanced across a AWS application load balancer. And there, the IIS, if you're not familiar with IIS, depending on what kind of language you're running through it, you usually have a machine key. And in our product's case, the machine key has to match between both servers in the balance. So if it doesn't, then you're going to have issues with some of the encryption, because it uses that machine key for encrypting some of the data. So we fixed that. Unfortunately, we're still having an issue, but it goes back towards where the documentation clearly says you're supposed to do this, and whoever did the upgrade missed it. So that's a miss on our part. It's not a good thing. And this is why automation is a better way of deploying websites, because at least then you know what the specs are and how to set them up. And once they're set for one server, they're set for all the servers, because you execute the same code on all the servers. So, and then last Thursday night, we had a issue where we are deploying Tomcat via Ansible. And I didn't write a lot of the code, but we actually are adapted. We have a multiple products in our company that uses Apache Tomcat, and they moved where the binaries existed in S3 for the deployment. So of course, our version of the script failed. Because our version accounts for things that the other product doesn't need. So, and this is actually just an interim stopgap until we do a different kind of deployment, which I will get into. But in this case, it was me, the main engineering guy on my team, and the manager for the transition team, who is very tied into and kind of helping out until we get the next tech lead hired, with approving PRs and stuff like that. So I learned how to do ops PR or pull request. So I was approving pull requests just so that we can get the next iteration out to Ansible. And this, luckily, this server, was a production server, but it's not in use yet. So we can do that as many times as we wanted. So it really didn't hurt nothing when the script failed. So we finally got to work, and then I got to build an EMA. And then EMA is my product, one of our products. And then its job is basically to talk to RabbitMQ and kind of be like the middleman between Rabbit and our ERP system. So I get to deploy that. In fact, I got to build it. I'm going to stage the EMA build tomorrow. And then my deployment's like 11:30 tomorrow. So, and I'll deploy that, and that'll be the last thing I do before I go on vacation. So, but fortunately, they're probably not going to use it right away, so it's not a huge deal. But at least I can close my case out in snow. but the other way that, and the way we're going to look at this in the future, is we use Dan. Have you ever heard of the I'm trying to who does the program Vault? Is the name of the program
HashiCorp?
Thank you, HashiCorp. Yep, we use that. So eventually, we're going to put all the pieces we need for the deployment in Vault. So the usernames that have to go into the configuration, as well as the API key and all that stuff. And we're going to deploy this server. We're going to deploy via a Zap pipeline, so that it'll deploy Tomcat, Rabbit, and the EMA all at the same time in one shot. Automation for the win there.
There you go.
Instead of taking an hour to do, you're going to take 20 minutes, if that. Just depends on how long it takes Jenkins to do the build. So, but eventually I'll learn how to write the YAML code that we use for that. So,
man, I used to be in Jenkins all the time. I haven't been in Jenkins in a couple of weeks now. Damn.
Woo. Well, that means you're not doing a lot of deploying, probably. Either that, or you're more of a manager.
Well, no, we like I said, we've been moving away from Jenkins to GitHub Actions on our new projects, and the stuff that's in Jenkins is legacy. It's now considered legacy. Actually, I can't say it's legacy, because legacy is the stuff before the stuff that was in Jenkins. Now it's classic, I guess. I don't know, classic, whatever. I don't know what we call it, but there's not a lot of development going on that end, so everything's on the new projects, the stuff that's replacing all that, and that's all in GitHub Actions, or like the WordPress side of things is the Circle CI.
Right. Yeah, it's see, and the bad part is kind of where I am. We straddle that. I don't necessarily have to write the Jenkins and the Ansible code that we use. I eventually want to, of course, but
But then I also know the old stuff. Like, for example, I got a ticket that came in today where they want to run a UniQuery against one of their systems. So I'm going to do that against their training system because it's actually more up to date than their test system. I don't know if he's going to want me to run it in production, but basically I'm just going to run it in the training environment for them and then provide the CVS code that it outputs, the comma delimited format. I didn't write the code. It was actually written by one of their products, which is a third-party product. I don't even remember what they call it for sure, but everyone just calls it by who makes it, which is the Cedarville University. So, and I don't even know what it really does either. But so I get to do that tomorrow as well as work with this. It's basically, like I said, it's the EMA or Lucian Messaging Adapter. And it's just the middleman code that our company wrote to go with that. So. And I'm also working with development, trying to figure out what's going on with this listener for this other client, which they're fairly escalated. Yep, it's fun. Then I had a bunch of tickets. I love it when the customers end up closing their own tickets, like before I even get a chance to look at them. Because what ends up happening is we have anything that's kind of like application, like, you know, for example, they're trying to figure out, well, why is this data not being updated out of the code that updates a financial data mart? Well, that's not necessarily system stuff necessarily. That might be application stuff. So they'll call the action line or our customer center, which is the same one that you would use if you're an on-prem client. And then they can work with them. So when they get to the point where they need to have a log, then they will put in what they call a cloud ticket, which comes to our team. And then we have to look at the, you know, help get them to log and work with the action line folks. Well, I had a couple come in that my boss assigned me, but then by the time I actually got to them, the action line folks closed them because they figured out whatever it was. I love that. But we're working with them. We're also working on trying to improve ServiceNow for us.
There's no way to improve that piece of crap. Yeah,
I know. But a lot of it is just, you know, like, for example, give us kind of a version, like a template that we can use for stuff we do all the time. That's not necessarily a standard change, but a change that... The advisory board will just, you know, basically just says, oh, you can use, it's kind of like a standard change, but it's not in that the actions are the same as stuff we've done before. Like, for example, installing quarterly updates. We do that all the time, right? So, and rarely do they ever go south. I'm not saying that they don't ever go south, because sometimes they do. But generally, It's fairly simple. You install some listener updates. You install standard software updates, and then you might upgrade through three websites, and that's all done with install shields. And if you do it the way I like to do it, which is our product's designed so that it can upgrade itself. So basically, you run the install shield against the website, and it upgrades itself, and it maintains your customizations, like, you know. Theming and stuff like that, so you don't have to go back and redo it. I had a teammate that decided, well, we're gonna do every upgrade with a new site, and they're gonna move the customizations over from the old site. What happens if you miss a customization is what I always say, because we don't write the customizations, our customers do. So that guy's not on the team anymore. But anyway, so yeah, that's my work life. It's been nuts. I got some stuff I'll talk off show with you, Dan. So, stuff I just don't want to put all the way out yet. But Other than that, let's get in the house. Spectrum's going to come install our cable service. So one of the things I'm going to grab after we close Friday is my cable modem and then air mattresses and stuff, because I don't have muscle to move furniture Friday, because, hey, you know, what happens on Friday? People work on Fridays. So, but my nephew's going to come with either, he's got a friend, or my brother-in-law, his dad. They're going to come and help us get everything moved in. So probably one of the most important things, though, when we move in, is in the laundry room, where the washer connections are. It's, you know, fairly standard. Actually, they got nicer connections. My old house was, the laundry room wasn't drywalled or anything. This one it is, which is kind of nice. But the connections are different, and it has a plastic shroud where the hot and cold water is, all right? And the drain pipe's also in the same area. Well, they got it very clearly marked. Unfortunately, I also have pictures of what that area looked like before they put drywall on. Because if you poke the hole out at the wrong side, your washer's going to drain into the wall instead of into the pipe. So, so that's important. Make sure that when we hook up the washer and the dryer, once they get over there, that they go in the right place. But then Sunday, wife decided she wanted new furniture. So we went shopping, and we went to three different furniture stores before we finally found something. And here's the interesting thing, too. Now, some of this, I would say some of this is probably COVID, and some of it's the current issues with labor. One of the stores happened to be Lazy Boy. We went in there and we saw something we liked. It was priced right. And we asked them, can we get this in a different color instead of the one that's on the floor? And he said, sure. The wait time is 6 to 8 months. I'm not joking. Usually it's a month or two at most. But it's now 6 to 8 months to get furniture with the, you know, a certain color fabric. And that's not even, I mean, that's not like you're picking any fabric you want. That's, you're picking from a selected set of fabrics. So, and some of them were as bad as 2022. So, and some of it's resources where the factories have been closed because of the pandemic. And some of it is just the labor. They don't, as in, they don't have people who actually want to work. So, and I don't know about where you're at, Dan, but in some places, some of the restaurants around here, the McDonald's down the street from us here, the only way you can get McDonald's is either drive through or like via Uber Eats, because they have the dining room closed because they don't have enough people to work the dining room and the drive through. So, everybody's hiring, dude. they're all looking, especially if it's at a certain level. Yep.
And is it same down like Texas? $16 an hour for, you know, working at Chipotle.
Well, as I say, there's a couple I seen on the, I don't know if it was here, but I seen pictures from somewhere posted on Facebook where, you know, they said, come work today and get paid today. So you come work your shift and they pay you at the end of your shift. Which is not usual, but.
Yeah, I haven't been out to many places, yeah. So I don't know.
Basically, everybody is hiring around here. Dairy Queen, yep. Little Caesars, Chipotle. The only people I haven't seen with a sign out is 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing out here. All the stores are that way as well. They haven't reduced hours of, like, grocery stores. Those have actually been staffed pretty well. But then our grocery stores all around here, almost all of them are union. So they get paid pretty well anyway. Heck, I worked at Meijer right after college full time, and I could have got health insurance and all that stuff. In fact, I did get health insurance when I worked there. Working at a grocery store, getting health insurance.
Your favorite grocery store, Meijer, right?
I worked in the supermarket for years.
Meijer's great.
College,
I did
all of it.
Yeah.
Did everything except checking.
Working at a grocery store is far better than working at fast food.
Yeah, restaurants suck in general.
But anywho, we found a couch, a love seat, and a recliner. And the couch and the love seat actually have recliners in them too. Now the couch is delayed until August, but Saturday we get the love seat and the recliner. And I'm trying to convince the wife to let me put the recliner in my office, especially since they're being delivered and I don't have to do lifting on it. Up a narrow stairwell, you know, so. But we'll see. And they're all like a faux leather. They're not real leather, but they're like a faux leather. So, and then I got Junk Be Gone scheduled out to come out. believe it or not, so I got them scheduled Sunday. I couldn't believe that. But they're going to come Sunday and take away the old couch at the house.
Ride up in a big yellow taxi and take your old couch away. What's that, Joe?
Pretty much.
I emailed that out to you.
So, we'll see. And then Monday is supposed to have the company coming to do the security system / smart home stuff. We'll see how much of that. I may have a lot of that hooked up by the time they get there Monday. And we bought Luke a new bed too, since his old bed was pretty ratty. Spoiled him. Hope he appreciates it, but I got him a Sleep Number bed too. They're expensive, but I highly recommend them. Beds with Wi-Fi.
What bed?
The Select Comfort Sleep Number bed. You know, the one where you have a number. It's essentially like an over-techified air mattress. It's kind of what it is. But it has these bladders in it. And like in my case, we have a queen. And I have one, and she has one. So I can have my side at one firmness, and she can have hers really squishy, which I hate. I don't like a squishy mattress. To me, that's uncomfortable. We know Dan likes to sleep on the floor, huh?
And not so much anymore. I'm getting old. Sleeping on the floor hurts my back. I mean, I will, but I prefer to sleep in a little more comfort than on the floor these days. Because I'm
yeah, at least it's, I've heard people talk about those purple mattresses. That's one I'm just not interested in.
You mean the one you see on the ads on YouTube and stuff? I haven't seen them in a little while. Where they're dropping the eggs and, you know, the big, all that stuff. The purple one that looks
Yeah. This doesn't look comfortable to me.
I don't know. Any mattress is usually comfortable when you first get it. It's just how long is it going to last? Well, I don't know. It depends. Do you like a firm mattress or a soft mattress?
I'm a firm guy.
Yeah, I kind of like a firm mattress myself. Joe, on the other hand, he likes soft mattresses, right? He likes a floppy.
I actually prefer to sleep on a bed of rocks.
There you go. Is that from the military sunshine, days?
Like a lizard. Actually, I started doing that when I was a kid, but yeah.
Let's see, in the military, you slept on a cot.
Well, they actually give you beds, but, you know, they're like a little bit of cotton on top of wooden slats.
Right.
That sounds like a dorm bed.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sounds like a wool blanket. Camper.
Scratchy wool blanket, too.
Yep, had plenty of those.
Look at that. My wife spent too much time watering the front yard and the backyard today, the gardens, front and back gardens, and now it's pouring like hell.
But see, I am actually wanting rain because I got my sod in there. So in that way, I don't have to go over and turn on the water. In fact, I probably should, after the show, go over to the house and turn off the sprinkler.
Yeah.
Gotta keep my nice looking sod looking nice. At least I don't have to mow it. It's a good thing, too, because the way they laid the grain around the house, my house is kind of up on a hill, and the backyard is real hilly. Which kind of sucks, but... And we will be the fourth family to close in that neighborhood.
Now, is anybody moved in yet? I mean,
oh, yeah.
I guess three other people, right?
Yep.
Are they across the street from you, next to you, not even near you?
There's two in our section. One on each end are both closed. We're going to be the first one beyond that that closes in our section. But there's a little nicer section, you know, like where the homes start around 400,000. There's one of those are done. And in fact, it's got the real funky shaped yard. It's like the yard is like a V shape in the front because there's a house not too far from him. It's weird. I would not have liked that. But he has like a their house is so much bigger than ours, and they also have a 2-car garage and a 1-car garage. Which I don't know if I don't know if I'd try parking one car in there because it's awfully narrow. So I think that garage is more designed for like storing your like lawn equipment and bicycles and stuff like that. Speaking of bicycles, I do need to get some hooks to screw into the ceiling in my garage so that we can hang the bicycles up off the ground. So that we have more floor space in the garage, because my intention is to park both cars in there. The only thing is I'm not sure if we'll have enough room for both cars, but we'll find out.
Speaking of bicycles for me, I finally threw in the towel this morning. I had enough, man. I was like, I gotta switch the seats on my bicycles. The one that I've been riding, I just, those little wedge seats just
make your ass hard.
They hurt my ass, and so I've had like the bike I was riding like 4 or 5 years ago I bought a wider seat for that, and so I finally put it on the bike I'm riding now, and boy, what a world of difference. What were you gonna say, Joe?
When I first got my bike, I had that problem too, where it was just causing me physical pain to sit on it for any period of time. But I adjusted the angle slightly downward in the front a bit more, and It was actually a lot more comfortable. It forced me a little bit further back on the seat to, you know, get more of my cheeks on the seat, and that actually helped a lot.
Well, I think one of the things that, did it for me was, this is for some reason the seat don't like to stay put. Even when I tighten it as hard as I can, it tends to pop up a little bit. And even though I try and push it down, I keep it down, it pops. So I just put this other one on now, and boy, my derriere is thanking me for that today.
this is funny.
Rather fresh air.
I did a Google search for wide bike saddles, and Walmart has one called the Big Ass Bike Cycling Noiseless Saddle, wide, large, soft PU pad seat for $35.
That might be the one I have. I don't know. I got this thing a long time ago. I forget where I bought it.
Probably it's actually Amazon. It's kind of a weird looking one. It's not like your traditional like wedge shaped. It's kind of a like a oval shaped, and it's got like two divots for your butt cheeks.
Put the link in.
I will.
I want to see it. I want to see how it looks compared to mine. Compared to my fat ass bike seat. Did you hear about the new proposed or what Raspberry Pi Foundation's working on?
No, what?
I guess. I came across my news feed earlier today. I just took a brief glimpse at it. I thought maybe some of you. What's the Raspberry Pi? It's the Raspberry Pi Foundation, right?
Correct.
Where was it? No, I can't find it.
I don't know if that's it or not. I put a link in there, but I don't think that's it or not. I think that's something else. It should have been a Walmart link. Hold on.
I can't find it now. I thought maybe you guys might know a little more about it than I did. Than I did with just looking at. Let me see if I can find it in my news feed. It's probably long gone. But yeah, I'm not having any luck. I suck. I shouldn't even have brought it up. Ay, ay, ay. Where is it, Joe? Big ass bike seat. Okay, here we go. Okay,
I've never seen a bike seat look like
that. Yeah. Mine doesn't look like that, no. Oh, you know
what?
That
one looks like an old person's bike seat.
That looks comfortable. It's like a bar stool.
It does, don't it?
You know what? Mine is not as wide. It's not as wide, but it also has that front. It comes to a point in the front. I don't.
Okay.
Let me see if I can find one.
So more like the ones that they put on the tricycle, adult size tricycles.
Here we go. This is what mine looks like. Similar to this, what you would call the. I'll put it in there. The extra wide. Schwinn Foam Comfort Breeze Extra Wide Bicycle Seat. Kind of looks like that. That has that front, so it's not as as wide as the ones you're sitting.
Yeah. But, yep. I try to remember what I have on mine. I have no idea. I do know that when I was we went over the weekend, we went into the storage area to go root around so we can find our like our air mattress and the cot and stuff and the sleeping bags, because we're just going to use sleeping bags rather than bring our bed clothes over for the first night. So I wanted to move those up towards the front, And of course, I had to move shit around, you know, to get to that. So, because it was in the first storage area, the one we set up during the move to the apartment. And so one thing I noticed is in 8 months, the 8 months of it sitting in there, the tires are going on flat. So I basically probably just had to pump them up. I'm sure the tires are fine, but it's I think every bike I've ever had, I usually have to pump the tires up in the summer, or when I start riding it once it's warmer.
All the time?
Yeah. Not just just once a year.
Oh.
You know, and then just keep an eye on it, you know, because occasionally, they lose air. They're not perfect. Bike tires are probably worse than car tires, I think. But of course, it depends on what kind of bike you bought, too. If you have a better bike, it might be okay. But I have a cheap Schwinn, so.
Yeah.
I ran into there's an interesting car YouTube channel out there called Aging Wheels. You ever seen that one yet?
No.
Okay. It's pretty cool. The guy is, his name is Robert, but he actually has a Trabant. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but it's essentially the car made in mostly in Soviet Russia or in East Germany. So it's an interesting car, but he has one of those, and he has a Reliant Robin, which is that. If you ever seen Mr. Bean, there's an episode where he's in the parking garage, and he challenges another car leaving the parking garage. He's leaving it via the entrance, so he doesn't have to pay. And that car happens to be one of those, and it's a three-wheeled car that was made in Britain. So he has one of those, and he has a couple Codas, which are electric cars. And he just reviewed a Electrike. I'm trying to remember the name. I probably had the name of that one wrong, but it's essentially an electric car that was built in the 70s. So, which they actually did have some electric cars built in the 70s. He doesn't do all electric cars, you know, but because another thing he's done is he got a school bus, bought a school bus, and he's in the middle of converting that into an RV. But it's pretty funny because he tries to do all this mechanical work on these cars, and he's not a mechanic. Not whatsoever, but he still does it anyway. It's pretty funny. It's a good channel.
Did he get it working?
Mechanics.
What he wanted to get working.
Pretty much, like the one thing. I'm trying to remember. The other day I watched, he was rebuilding the engine out of a, what car was it he was rebuilding the engine from? It was a little tiny car, I can't remember.
See, I always got away, like, the risk of working on my car is if I'm going to make it worse. Like, if it's something I've never done before and it looks kind of easy, do I have a chance of screwing it up that I can't drive it away? I have to get it towed to the mechanic to fix my problem.
That's the truth. I'll tell you one thing, though, that would probably be worthwhile for you guys to buy for cars. I bought one just because Friday night we were on the way home back to the hotel from hitting Sam's Club, which is over in Hilliard. So it's next town or so away, and get back in the car over at Sam's Club, turn the car on, and check engine lights on. I'm like, oh crap. So luckily it wound up being nothing too expensive. It was the canister purge solenoid out of the in the emission system. So it was $292. So it could have been much worse, but because I watched Flying Rich's video on fixing his O2 sensor, and I believe it was in his GMC Denali, I bought a V-Peak Wi-Fi OBD2 scan tool, and it works with the OBD2 Torque application in Android. So you just connect it to Wi-Fi, and then your phone can connect up to the ECU and can scan the codes, and it can also look at data from your engine as your car's running, as you're driving, so you can tell things like speed, oil pressure, and other things in the car.
Yeah, so, I have one of those. They're pretty handy.
Yep. So now, why it may not fix the next check engine light, I'll at least be able to plug it in and tell if it's something stupid like the gas cap.
Right.
Which I can fix. But I wouldn't have been able to fix the sensor. So
you know how you fix that check engine light? You just press that reset button and clears out all the codes on Dork, and then you don't have that check engine light anymore. And go about the day. Blissfully ignorant.
Right.
Until your car explodes.
Most often, yep. Most often it is like something simple like an O2 sensor or like the canister purge salt. Canister purge solenoid is what the name of it was. But now while I was in there, now this is the thing that a lot of people don't realize is that pretty much any kind of car place in this kind of is coming from a discussion that was up on one of our local Facebook groups. There's a Facebook group in my new city called Grove City Connect, and somebody posted complaining that I went in here just to get a key program for my car, and now they told me that I need all this other work. I was like, well, that's all still coming from your 12-point inspection. So in my case, they did the same thing too, but they had said that I needed the fuel system cleaned. So, or purged or cleaned or whatever it is. So, you know, because they said, there's a lot of carbon in there, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, I don't, even when the check engine light was on, my car wasn't running any different. So, I mean, I Googled that, you know, whether you should do that or not. And they do recommend it, but the recommendation is usually around 60,000 miles, and I'm not even at 50 yet. And it runs fine. My car feels fine. You know, it's not hesitating. It's not, you know, having any problems accelerating. You know, so I'll probably do is next time I get the oil change, I'll say, go ahead, do that. I mean, it's not expensive. It's like $100-something for them to do that. It's important. So basically what they do is they pull the rails off the engine and they clean those. So it's not really something I can do or have the knowledge of doing. I'd be kind of scared doing that. But like I said, it could have been much worse. But I am glad I got that. What I may do is when I go for a extended trip, I may just plug that in and just look at the engine statistics as we drive, which would be kind of cool. Kind of like having another speedometer. Not that I need another one, but you know, hey. So, how much sooner until you replace the fit? Not till it dies.
Good question. I don't know yet. No, I would like to replace it soon, but it's just...
Replace it before it dies and leaves you stranded.
Yeah, no, it's... I mean, I don't really drive it anywhere anymore, except, like, to the beach and back,
right?
Which is a mile down the road. So we're getting close to it. I mean, I kind of want to pay off some other stuff before...
Right.
So... Hopefully soon.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm getting ready to think about it for at least probably replace the Traverse first, just because that's our primary car, you know. And I keep trying to talk. What I'd like to do is I'd like to get a pickup, just because it's nice that when I go to the store or something, you know, I'll say, let me pull around and you can throw it in the back of the truck, you know.
Right.
That way I don't have to pay the delivery fee. Now, granted, some things like I want delivered, like this furniture that's coming Saturday, I want that delivered because I don't want to have to lift that crap.
You know what? Speaking of cars, I do believe, was it 2 weeks ago, I was a little late and had said that one of the lawn maintenance people here lost their keys while they were leaf blowing. Well, turns out she found them, but it wasn't on the property. It was back in the bathroom of the break room at their wherever it is that their office is. And apparently, I guess somebody found them somewhere and then put them in the bathroom in the break room. I don't know. But this was after she could not find them. She had to pay $324 for a locksmith to come out.
And, oh, no.
Yeah. So, and then, that next day, they're like, there they are in the break room bathroom. I was like, oh, man, that's... But, live and learn. She got a duplicate made, and there you go.
Yep. Was this a case where she only ever had one key?
I guess. I don't know.
It's like, we got two. I've got a key on my ring I never use, and that's the key to the cruise, and it looks brand new because I hardly use it. I mean, it's a key with a fob in it, you know? But that's also another thing, too. Like, we're talking about programming keys. Probably, for example, if the key fob went out in either my son's key or the key that I have, I'd go out to Amazon, find a new key fob, and I would pull the cut key out of the old one and put it in the new one, and then reprogram the fob because that works on the cruise. Now, in my case, when my Traverse, if I need a new fob, then I actually have to pay for someone to program that because you have to have the certain tool. Which the tool costs more than a fob, and I'm not going to do that, you know. So I'd rather pay someone the $5 to use their tool, or whatever the cost is. It's not $5. I'm underestimating that for sure. But it's like, but depending on your car, probably the first place I would go to is if you're looking at either reprogramming your fob or your key. You know, if you like, for example, usually, you know, nowadays it's the fob is the key, but if it's something like that, go to YouTube and find out. You may be able to reprogram that key, especially if you have one key or the fob, especially if you have a relatively recent vehicle, you may be able to do that. A recent vehicle and another working fob. So, you know, so like if you accidentally wash that fob, which that's the thing that scares me a little bit with the fobs, is what happens if I leave my keys in my pocket, you know? But a lot of cars from Honda to GM, they built that stuff in your car. So if you have another working key, you can get the new fob, swap the physical key over. Reprogram the fob and it'll work just like your old one did. What amazes me too is whenever I have the fob on my Traverse, it's an older school fob because it's, you know, the original design for that car was from the first generation, but midway through it they had done some fascia adjustments, so it looks a little bit different than the original one did, but it's still the same body, same parts and everything. On the original fob that came with the car, cracked,
So I searched Chevy Traverse key fob STL. And yes, the housing on my key fob for my car is 3D printed. I did have to pay for the STL though. And it doesn't, sure, it doesn't look as good as the original. Eventually I'll order a second one on Amazon and swap the board that's in this one to the other board so that it looks better, probably before I sell it. I've left it at the dealer, and I've left the same fob at the Firestone, and nobody's ever questioned this key fob, which it definitely looks different because it's white. The original key fob is a dark gray. But all I had right, to guys, do that because the old one cracked. Yep, it's 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I gotta play us out. You sure you don't want to stick around, Joe, for the play out?
I'll stick around for the play out.
Well, right. Yeah. the next show, I will be at the house. Should be at the house, and I will be recording my next episode of Living in the Shade of an 80s Arcade, which I believe will be either 1987 or 1988. I think it's 1988 in my retrospectives of the years. I just couldn't record anymore. I recorded one show here. But I just had a rough time without all my equipment here, and then we all three of us GM the same room. It's not easy to record a podcast that way.
All right. Well, so with that, we have there you go. Here are your promos and your outros, and we'll see you in a week.
Oh my God!
It's Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello. My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? With my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
I am short.
When you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
There we go.
That's pretty darn funny. She is short.
Hilarious. I love it. I have to make sure I play this or play that portion of the episode for her.
She should be listening to every show, right?
Yes.
You know, I try to get people in my house interested in Linux and Linux podcasts, and I get looked at like I'm crazy.
It goes over like a lead balloon, right?
It's because you are crazy. Why would you use Linux? It's hard to use. I'm kidding, it's not, but I'm hoping after we move, I get a new system. But
good luck fixing your blue screen of death.
You got a house to pay for.
Yeah,
that's not my problem. True. My HPD works.
Looks like the dog finally passed out. It was her bedtime.
It's my bedtime too.
Or at least it won't be my problem until probably next year.
Yeah. Hopefully. Stop the recording.
I am. Here we go.
I should just get one of the chairs and sit out in the grass, because I think that's what she just wants to do, is sit in the grass.
Well, who doesn't? You, I guess, right? Where are all the kids?
They checked out, I guess. I don't know.
Kind of stinks because I've been noticing since I get up early enough, I notice it's starting to get darker. It's staying darker later and getting in the morning and getting darker earlier in the evening. I'm like, I'm not ready. Not ready.
Why not? All I know is that guy that's putting gutters on my house better show up tomorrow and get them done. Jesus. Kind of cutting it close.
It'll work out. Joe says it'll work out. It'll work out.
No, Joe's the one that's been saying 2032.
Joe's the one that what?
When we close. Hey, it's Friday. Better be Friday. I got furniture coming Saturday.
Is it new furniture or your furniture?
Kind of both.
Oh, okay.
Wife decided she didn't want the couch, hey, so we went and spent Joel. A bunch at the... Yes, sir.
When were you originally supposed to close?
3 months ago.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not the only ones behind that. Almost my whole neighborhood is so far.
I thought you were supposed to close in, like, February?
No, never February. Well, if they started in October, like when they said they were going to, February probably would have been it. But that was like the first estimate, which was just that one's always wrong, no matter who you build with or in what conditions. But we got the final approvals in. We wired our money last week for the down payment. And they got our fridge and our microwave is installed. They just have to install the dishwasher and stove, which I wasn't expecting either of those when they did get them, because he told us they would all be tomorrow. But that's fine.
Are you guys staying in there for now?
We're still at the hotel until Friday when we close. Friday night we're gonna probably sleep on the, I got an air mattress for us. Luke's got a cot that we're gonna put him on, and we're gonna sleep there, and then our furniture
just have a moving van with you on
right.
When you go to sign, and you'll be fine.
I'd love it if that could happen, but I can't get the muscle until Saturday. So that's happening Saturday. But they're also
you aren't the muscle.
Well, I'm the only muscle in the three of us because I can't get my son to do jack shit. But anyway,
that's when you tell him if he wants to eat, he's got to work.
I can't bitch. He washes my laundry too. Because he likes to do laundry. I don't know why. Hopefully that changes. But,
like, utility-wise, when I move in, I'm going to have free water.
Because I don't know what's going on with that 100%, but for some reason, on none of the houses that have closed so far, have they actually installed water meters. So... The bill's going to the builder now until they're going to come and install water meters on our house.
AT&T Fiber is eventually supposed to be moving into my neighborhood.
There you go.
Yeah, they're going to fix that water meter problem really fast. You watch.
Oh, of course they are.
They definitely will because
in the meantime, get a hold.
Yeah, right. I wish it could actually. There's not enough room for any of that.
Put it in your neighbor's yard. Charge it to them.
Well, neighbors to each side of me have no grass and aren't finished yet.
Well, that's the best time to put in the pool then, isn't it? You don't have to tear up the grass.
Best time to touch the fence line.
Yeah, we're actually not allowed to put pools in where I'm at. So,
don't you have a pool there?
The ground pools?
We don't have a pool there, but there's a community pool that we belong to, and it's actually not that far away, so it's not a big deal. All
right. Guess we should start the show.
Maybe.
You at the gym there, Joe?
I just got done. I'm sitting outside of the driving school waiting for my daughter to come out.
Well, hopefully it'll be a short wait.
It's always a short wait with her.
Good one.
All right. Let's fire this pig off. It's 915. What?
Hold on. Did you find that recording?
No, actually I didn't. Wait.
I'll have to send it to you.
Let's see if it's...
She wants to make sure it's at the end of every show.
Do you remember what the name of it was?
Shorter.
Mm-mm-mm. Ah, my fingers aren't typing tonight. It's not there. All right, let me start it off here, and I'll see if I can find that.